Welcome back to We Still Like Each Other, the podcast. I'm Travis.
And I'm Stephanie.
And this is the podcast where we show that the honeymoon stage can last forever.
Forever and ever.
What's up, baby?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Making sure I'm on my best behavior today.
Why?
Because there's been too much us fighting energy on the pod.
No, it hasn't.
You know, just don't want people to think we don't really like each other.
We do. We're on brand. we do our best to stay on brand.
Yeah. Our life is the brand. We don't create, you know, we're not trying to live up to the brand.
Do you think the name is more of a, like a, what's the word when you're like?
You have sun on your forehead right there. One more time. There, it's gone. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to leave that in.
Yeah, he just wiped his forehead.
Whatever. When you're trying to achieve something, the word is slipping my mind right now. Like you, like a
self-fulfilling prophecy?
Like a dream board? What's the word I'm looking
manifesting.
For?
Manifesting.
What's the, remember the other day with the candy that I still...
Oh, yeah. Don't even say that on camera. That's kind of embarrassing.
I'll say it. I don't know. Been having like a little itch in my throat. And I think you have as well. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work. But before I left, I grabbed something to help with my throat. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember the name of it. So I was like, oh, yeah, I grabbed the throat candy.
Ayo. He meant cough drops.
I meant cough drops, but...
The word cough drops wouldn't come out.
I'm sure you've all been there.
Yeah, like something
just,
random.
Like even just now, I couldn't think of like manifesting.
Yeah, that happens a lot to bilingual people because it's like you don't know the word in English or Spanish, or you know it in one language and not the other, and then it's just...
And I speak English and patois, so...
Yeah, you're right. Don't speak a little bit, so never mind.
Remember I was singing to the baby the other
day? Yeah. What was it? You were singing the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
I was putting a little Jamaican sauce on it.
Do it a little bit. Sing the Itsy Bitsy Spider with the Jamaican sauce.
I forgot it was good. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
I was dying laughing. Like I couldn't help it. My stomach
because
was hurting.
Because River is in that stage where he hates to get his diaper changed. So you always have to keep him entertained. Mm-hmm. Give him something. Sing to him. So the Itsy Bitsy Spider is really quick.
And that's like his favorite, one of his favorite songs right now.
So by the time you've done it like five times, but maybe you're changing like a shit diaper, you're like, all right, I got to change it up because his attention span is all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I just started like, Itsy Bitsy Spider went up the...
No, but there was one part where you were talking about like the rain coming down, but you like changed up the lyrics a little bit. I was dying. Like,
the blood clot rain. I know I'm going to get flamed by my Jamaicans who listen.
Yo, I was dying. But where did we go? You were talking about manifesting. What were you manifesting?
Oh, I was saying the name is more of a manifestation. It's like, it's what we strive to be, right? We want to continue to like each other.
Well, not a manifestation, because manifestation sounds like it's not there. I feel like we have it and we want to maintain it. So we still like each other is like a way of life and a goal at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that honeymoon phase doesn't end. It's always there. We're always reigniting it or keeping it alive.
Yep. That's why I keep you around to translate what I'm trying to say.
How was your week?
It was a good week. Work was good. You know, like a nice balance of a lot of work to do, but also went by pretty smooth. This week was a little bit of a bummer. Like I say, it stressed me out more than I'm going to admit it right now. But our guy, Aubrey, announced his tour.
Oh, Drake. Yeah.
And I was excited. You know, I think the last tour of his that we went to, was that with the Migos?
I believe so. In Barclays.
In Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And I remember how much we spent. So I kind of had a figure in mind. But I figure inflation, let's up the bar a little, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So Cash App had a pre-sale. You had to do a bunch of hoops to get a Cash App card, add the money. So in my mind, I'll be honest, I said, I'll spend no more than $600.
Yeah.
I love Drake. I'm like a day one. Like you don't want to challenge me on this. I'm a day zero fan. So it's a no-brainer. Steph loves Drake.
And to clarify, $600 for two tickets. Us together. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though you, I don't know if you were joking, but he was like,
no, keep telling your story. Don't talk about me.
So the day comes, I'm hype. I made sure, like, I took my lunch at work at the same time the tickets were going on sale. Mm-hmm. Had some issues getting in the queue, but whatever, finally get through, and then I see the prices.
Yeah.
Well, before that, I messaged Steph, and I'm like, look at the chart. Where do you want to sit? And then we're like, oh, over there's a good spot. We sat there once for...
Yeah, it was, like, similar spot for when we saw Drake and Amigos.
And I finally get through the queue and I see the prices.
And the prices for the tickets in the seats that I liked were how much?
About six or maybe like five a pop.
Okay, so each one. Okay.
So getting two would have put me over what I had in mind.
Double what you had in mind.
So long story short, I did get tickets, mm-hmm. but they are not where I would ideally like to sit.
They call those the nosebleeds, or is the nosebleeds up front? I'm confused.
I used to say Barclays Center doesn't have a bad seat, but then I'm thinking, was I referring to the basketball games? Because that's a little different. Part of me still wants to go because I love Drake. Maybe it'll just be fun to be in the building.
And I love concerts, like just loud music, the vibes, and Drake music. So I think, I was like, yeah, we could just be in the building.
I don't know. Then there's that bougie part of me that's just like, you deserve better. We deserve better.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm still on the fence. We have a few months to think about it. Worst case scenario.
For me, it's not even about like I deserve better, because I'm humbling myself. Like, honestly, even what we paid is out of our budget. Mm-hmm. Like, we have some lifestyle changes, adjusting to one income and this expensive hobby of ours called We Still Like Each Other, the podcast. Yeah, yeah. But I'm like, if it's outside of our budget, and it's those seats we don't really like, like, is it worth it? Like, should we just use that money on something else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely debating that. Like, we've discussed things that we want for the studio. And mm-hmm. although it's not like those tickets would buy it. It would get us closer. So I'm weighing that. I think I'll have a better idea the closer we get. So yeah, that was a little bummer to the week, but
we could make like our own little Drake party
in the house.
In the house.
Yeah. It ain't gonna hit the same. Anyway, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. It had like, I had an amazing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday up until midday. Then like some parenting stuff came up. And, you know, I'm still in that, like, phase of, like, adjusting to stay-at-home mom life where I want to do it all, but realizing that I can't. And I'm like, on some days, I want to pull Eli out of school and homeschool him. And then other days, I'm like, okay, bitch, slow down. Like, that's too much for you. So it's been one of those up and down weeks. And I noticed that I'm really good at setting goals and, like, pushing myself to execute things, but what I'm not good at is being flexible to change that might fuck up my ability to actually execute my goals in the order I had them mm-hmm. planned. So, like, once something goes wrong, it, like, fucks up the rest of the week.
So like, if your day isn't going, all right, I wrote the script for the day. Mm-hmm. If something tries to come up and fuck up my script, it's like, fuck this play, I'm not.
Yeah, but the bad part about it is like, instead of it fucking up a day, it might fuck up the rest of the week for me because I just feel so defeated. So just getting past that has been a struggle this week. But I'm getting back to it, getting back to myself, reminding myself that, you know, meeting my goals 70% of the way is still better than zero, still better than not setting the goals at all.
I feel like looking at the situation from like, you know, being optimistic, I think the fact that you're even aware of it mm-hmm. is like, that's huge. Because sometimes people, they, you know, slip into that mindset and they just kind of like get devoured by it. And there's no coming out of it, even if it's a week, a month, years go by. And I think your intention is there. And you know, I'm always rooting for you. I just think it's just going to be one of those things that takes practice and learning to deal with when life throws you curveballs.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I'm also working on, like, not being so harsh on myself, like speaking to myself more kindly. You know, having a bad week in parenting doesn't mean I'm a bad mom. So yeah, a lot of that self-reflection, self-work going on this week.
One more thing we forgot to mention. So
what? Oh my God, you're scaring me.
Well, I want to preface this by saying that we are not perfect, and we do our best to practice the things we preach.
Okay.
But we have been slacking when it comes to our marriage meetings.
Ooh, I didn't know you were going to bring those up. Yeah, I mean, thinking about it, but I'm like, you know what? All right, guy, what you going to say?
I'm not going to go too much. I don't want to go into what we talk about during our marriage meetings, but I want to say that we have been slacking on them. Mm-hmm. When we first started doing them, you know, I was like a big advocate for it. I still am a big advocate for anyone wanting to do it. And then we're like, we're going to do this weekly. Mm-hmm. And then weekly went, oh, we'll get it next week and the next. And then like a month or two goes by.
And then we were moving and a whole bunch of stuff.
Making excuses for something that honestly takes the length of a TV show to get done. Mm-hmm. So then we try to get back on track and we're like, you know what? With the podcast, with our family, let's just do every other week. Mm-hmm. So I think now it's the first time we've done it in 2 months, 2 to 3 months.
You want me to be real?
It's not 3 months?
It was since October.
God damn.
I think before then, you know, like what? Since October we had, but we didn't write the down. Notes.
That's what I was going to say.
We didn't write the notes. So in the notebook that we keep, where we like keep minutes, kind of like a real business meeting, like we have little lists and stuff. The last time we did that, like we had a formal marriage meeting, was in October.
Yeah, so we were referencing things that we were like, all right, you know, part of the marriage meeting is setting goals for yourself.
So you look at the previous
so
like, meeting.
Oh, so what did we set last one? Even though it was embarrassing that it was back in October, it's like, and then not only did we not do it, but it was something that we had to write down again because it's still an issue.
And there were some things that did get done, but had recently gotten done. And it's like, we set a goal to do this back in October. So and it took us 4.5 months to do it.
This is what I don't mind saying, but it was like a research contractor for basement studio.
Yeah.
Back in October. And it's like, I was like, well, we got it done.
We got it done. Yeah, we did get it done, but it took us 5 months.
Yeah.
Even things like dentist appointments, you know, doctor this, things that have gotten done, but literally took us 4 months to get done. And that's one thing that's good about these meetings is like it holds you accountable. You know, just like with work, if you have a project due, you don't ignore it for 5 months, like you would lose your job. And why is it that when it comes to your own family and your own partnership, we're so easy to like hold things off like, oh, it could wait. It could wait. Like, no. Put the same energy you give your 9 to 5, like, into your life.
Yeah. So, we're gonna get back on track. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was embarrassing to say that the last entries were October. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like a hypocrite being such an advocate for it in, like, previous episodes. Because I still feel like it's a great tool. But
if I didn't push to do them again, even though we waited 5 months to do it, the reason we did it again was because I have been pushing for it, right? Would you agree that that's true?
I guess so.
No, Come on, baby. I'm trying to have an honest conversation here.
It is.
So I feel like, you see, you made me lose my train of thought. But basically, if I stood quiet, we probably would have never gotten back to it. And although, like, I appreciate you. And I know people are probably like, well, he did it anyway, bitch. Like, why are you complaining? It's another like task on my plate, you know? Like we talk about how relationships are never 50-50. And, you know, you play your role, I play my role. And not necessarily gendered roles, but just we play to our strengths and our weaknesses. And I guess committing to developing I guess, routines for our marriage to why am I like, I can't even speak right now. But basically, a marriage meeting is another thing now added to my plate if I'm the only one that's going to take responsibility to actually make sure they happen. So that could be difficult. So I feel like in a relationship, I'm speaking to our audience, like if you decide to do this with your partner, you might run into that where it feels like you're the only one who wants to do it, right? Don't give up. Keep pushing for it. Now, if you do them and it wasn't, what's the word, like beneficial to the relationship, you didn't get anything out of it, then that's a different story. Because we're not saying that this works for everyone. But if it works for you, you have to be super intentional, put the work in and make sure that they happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy we did it. And mm-hmm. you're completely right that it wasn't on my priority list.
Yeah.
I do want to make it a priority because I know that it's beneficial for us. And it's just like maintaining a car. Like you got to get your oil changes. You got to mm-hmm. rotate your tires. And, you know, I sound like a real man's man.
Was it last week when we were talking about like how you could help keep each other accountable without sounding like our parents?
Yeah, that was I'm not your parent. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things, right? Like if I'm the only one who's like, we need to have this meeting, it starts to put the burden on me and it makes me feel a little like, you know, he wouldn't even want to do this if I didn't want to do it. And now I'm sounding like your mom, like reminding you of a meeting, you know, or reminding you of some responsibility. So in you having some initiative in that could avoid that feeling of like feeling like a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know we were bringing that up, but it's a lot. It adds on additional like workload to one partner. So yeah, what do you do? How do you remedy that?
I think the fact that we've set in stone that like this is going to happen every other week, right? So it should just be like a no brainer that when the day comes, it's our normal schedule plus adding that on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even taking the initiative to like, all right, so after we do this, we're going to go have the marriage meeting, right? Just kind of mm-hmm. like, although it's not reminding you, but it's also just letting you know that it's on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just like what I can, the steps I can take to at least show you that it's not a one-sided thing.
Yeah, because I feel like there's so many other things in relationships since they are in 50-50 or since, you know, you take the role that you are better suited for. I feel like a marriage meeting is that one thing that's like both of us have to be responsible for, you know, like it's not like, oh, you're better skilled at this. Like the marriage meeting is that thing that's, what's the word?
Equal,
I guess, is bipartisan. You know, like it's of equal importance to both of us and we both have to take accountability to making sure that they happen. All right, we spent too much time on this. Do you have a did you know for us?
I do. All right. Did you know? Did you know researchers found a huge decline in happiness 4 years into a marriage with another decline in years 7 to 8? In fact, half of all divorces occur in the first 7 years of marriage, which gives rise to the popular term, the 7-year itch.
Ooh. So we passed the 7-year mark. Yay!
We did it.
All right. Let's see if we can get to the 8. So the 7-year itch, it says?
Yeah.
I never heard of that term.
I guess it sounds familiar.
I never heard of it. But yeah, I did know that most divorces happen in those early years. Which is, I don't even know what that speaks to. I guess maybe just being unprepared entering marriages and then not having the tools to repair, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there could be so many different factors.
Because I feel like we weren't prepared for marriage when we got married.
Yeah, we just knew that we wanted to be together so bad. And it was just like the next logical step to how quickly our relationship was progressing.
Mm, that makes sense. What do you think? What's a tool that you said has helped keep us together?
Mm. That's a good one. A tool that has helped keep us together. Because
it's like we weren't prepared for marriage, right? And we faced our, you know, issues in marriage.
I was going to say communication, but if I'm being honest, like I feel like that's something we've kind of gotten better at in the latter years.
More recent years.
I feel like our genuine friendship has helped us. Although like the beginning of our relationship was like a lot of like passion and, you know, maybe even like sexually driven. After all that kind of simmered down, there was still like this really great friendship. Like we enjoyed doing things together, hanging out, and just, you know, just overall spending time. And I feel like that helped us potentially get through some rough spots.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think even now there was like a meme about like, oh, how many days is healthy for couples to spend together? And then this guy starts dancing and starts saying, it's like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like every day. Like I want to be with you all the time. I think that genuine friendship is definitely key to the success of our relationship. I think what's allowed us to stay together is our flexibility. If I would say, or adaptability. Like, I don't think we're the same people we were at the beginning of the marriage. And then when certain sides of us, maybe I guess bumped heads, we made adjustments. Like, this is how I am, but I can't be like this if I want our relationship to last forever.
That's a good point.
What do you think is going to be the tool to keeping us together? Like, do you see new challenges like in our near future?
Definitely. I think the marriage meetings, I think basically like unlocking a new level of communication skills is what's gonna get us through the next 10 to forever. Things are gonna come up. Things are coming up now, for being honest, that we have to address, but not only address, but, you know, put action to. So I think with that comes a lot of communicating and not leaving anything for the other person to like assume or, you know, make up this whole idea of a situation. Like we have to be very clear on where we both fall on a situation or, but what we both think of a certain scenario. I'm trying not to say a lot.
I think I agree. I feel like our relationship and our parenting is going to have a lot of tests in the near future. I feel like having a 9-year-old entering that like preteen stage plus a toddler is going to bring up different challenges for us that we didn't have when we only had a toddler. Like, it's just different. And also, I think we still are adjusting to me not having a formal job. And not just financially, but just like what that means for our roles and how we maneuver our relationship, right? Because we were having a conversation earlier about, you know, like I play this role, you play that role. Like, is that okay? Is that how it's always going to be? And you're like, well, that's just how it always has been. But I'm like, I was working before. So why was it always like that? Why did I have a 9-to-5 and I still carried like this majority of the weight in terms of like structure in our relationship, in our marriage, right? And now that I'm home, it's like, well, then duh, do it. But it's like, wait. Have we like formally
So which was the right way?
What do you mean?
I think that's the question that comes up, right? Was it wrong that you had this bigger load on your plate when you were in the workforce?
Yeah.
And or is it wrong that you're still doing it now?
Well, I would say it was wrong that while I was in the workforce, right? Like if we both equally were providing financially, right? We were both breadwinners in the home, then everything else outside of work should have been split equally, right? To a certain degree. And we've talked about it on this podcast when it comes to cooking or knowing how to clean certain things. Like, I feel like you've been learning how to be more of a homemaker in our relationship. Like, I feel like early in our relationship, I like taught you how to clean the toilet properly. You know, like, don't make that face because you know it's true. You know, when you wash the dishes, you also wipe down the stove. Like, little things like that you've learned with me.
Okay.
No, I'm lying.
I give you credit, but I also have faith in myself that if I had to, I would be fully capable. Okay. And that's like the hard part to prove, because, you know, I don't even want to know what that looks like. But I believe that I was capable. It's just I kind of had you as a crutch.
Mm. So you took advantage of the fact that I was doing all that stuff.
I still have you as a crutch. And I don't think it's taking advantage, but, you know.
Okay. I forgot where I was going. What was I saying? You made me forget.
I don't know. He's about to say something crazy about me.
Okay. So, yes, at the time, and I brought up, like, the, you know, the extra load that I had was around cooking, cleaning. I'm the only one who plans family activities. I'm the only one who, like, makes sure there's toilet paper and soap and all that stuff. And that's a big mental load, whereas in a lot of heteronormative relationship, the men just work and come home, and then they're told, like, we're going here, or we need to order this, or I bought this for the house, can you build it? Like, the last step of it, you know? But all the thinking and planning to maintaining a home and running a family was on me, right? And now that I don't have a traditional job, it's like, okay, now she can't complain about it because she's not a breadwinner. So now she can do all those things and leave me the fuck alone. Is that how you feel?
No. I just think it just feels like something you've always done. So I never even imagined you not doing those things. So It wasn't like, oh, now she's not a tradition. She doesn't have a traditional job, so I shouldn't hear any shit. It just feels like that's who you are. Mm-hmm. And I play my role and you play your role. And that's just mm-hmm. so happened to be our roles. Now, if you come to me and say, it's just getting too heavy to play these roles, then that's a different conversation. And I'm more than open to hearing those things. And we can adjust. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the king of adjusting.
And for me, it's like I take pride in, like, cooking for you all, cleaning, like, especially in more recent times with River being a little bit older and his routines being a little more set in stone. Like, I feel like you come home to a much cleaner home. I'm cooking dinner on more nights than not. Like, things are moving into a place where it's not so much of a load on me, but I still feel like I kind of would, like, if I can't do something or if I fall short somewhere, I feel like it's not natural to you to be, like, stepping in with, like, a meal for the kids. It's more so you're kind of still waiting around and, like,
yeah,
are we going to do for dinner?
My food or cooking in general is just it's a weakness of mine. Mm-hmm. But I do think in recent times I have been stepping up in other departments. So although I know it's not something that's going to be fixed overnight in that department, mm-hmm. I feel like in others,
yeah,
I've been able to say, you know what, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, let me.
Yeah, and I agree. What are the things you feel like you've been picking up on? I think we spoke about it the other day.
Just in terms of like things that need to be refilled around the house.
Mm-hmm. Like, you ordered soap and paper towels, right?
I think toilet. Oh yeah, paper towels, something. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to, like, you know, that invisible load that mm-hmm. you refer to. I'm trying to take some stuff off that.
And it sounds so silly. You're like, oh my God, like, he ordered soap. But it's just one of those other things on my checklist that's running constantly that, like, if he also is a willing adult, a capable adult, and is like, I see this is missing, like, it's just something he could do that makes a big impact.
Yeah.
what was the other thing? We were talking about like things with the kids and with Eli, especially because he's a little bit older and like we live like more country style versus like New York City, right? So we have to be more intentional about like extracurricular activities and things like that. Who does that fall on, right? And you would think in a heteronormative relationship, one partner is working, the home partner does all of that, right? And you hear, you know, the soccer mom and the moms in PTA and the bake sales and all the stuff falls on the mom. But it's like, do you want to be that dad who's kind of just only the breadwinner and nothing else?
I know it's tough. It's tough because I feel like I'm so mentally drained by the time I get home. And I know how difficult it can be to try and balance workload with trying to add on like some family stuff during work. It's just like a recipe for a disaster. That's why even like when it comes to podcast stuff, I literally do it on my lunch break or maybe on the ride home.
Mm-hmm.
So I just know if I had like this load of trying to figure out like family activities, it would distract.
What about on the weekend?
It would distract me. That's a possibility.
Because when you think about it in that sense, while Eli's at school, I'm at my other job, which is River, maintaining the house, laundry, you know, cooking, everything that I do at home is my job. So I also only have like once he's home and the weekends to figure it out and implement things that we're doing with him. Yeah, no?
No, you're right. I don't know what's the answer. I don't know what the right answer is. And yeah. I feel like it's crazy to say like, oh no, I don't want to be involved, because of course I want to be involved in anything that's, you know, gonna involve my children and bring them joy or structure, whatever the case is. I guess I'm just like programmed to think like, you know, you work and I'm doing what I have, like 90% of my role is accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other 10%?
Being an active father in terms of, you know, playing with them and doing the activities that mom plans.
That's honest. That's honest. But it's too much for me. Like, I don't mind planning 85% of the things. But I feel like it'll be beneficial to your relationship, too, with our kids in the future if they could say, like, dad took initiative for these things. He wasn't just doing what mom said. And then it is reminding me of last episode with that, like, sounding like your parent. If I'm telling you what to do with your kids, it doesn't feel like a partnership. It feels more like I'm the dictator, the authoritarian.
Yeah, I can see, like, when you lay it out like that, how it comes across that way. But I'm also like, that is done in like 8 out of 10 homes in America. So it's just like trying to reinvent the wheel almost. Like,
you're like, women just do that. They're the planners. Yeah, they plan everything. It's just like,
and I'm not saying it doesn't happen the other way around, but I don't have any stats, but I'm sure, you know, we have a nice community here. You could let us know, like, are you the planner? And I feel like most times it does fall on, in heterosexual relationships, it falls on the woman. It's what I've seen growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and stepfather was just like, he bust his ass at work and did things around the house in terms of like physical labor. And my mom took care of everything else. Vacations, things for us.
But they've been following this like heteronormative concept of running a household that doesn't really work, because your mom also worked.
She did.
But she still was the sole person responsible for all the planning, all the family activities.
And I don't know if it's a Caribbean thing or something, but it worked until it didn't. I mean, they're obviously not together, but I don't think it had anything to do with those.
That's specific thing. So do you think it should work for us?
I think if it's a problem, we should adjust.
But it's only a problem because I'm making it a problem. Correct. You don't see a problem.
Correct.
Okay. I guess
because I'm not going to act like it makes me, it does, my happiness isn't leaning either way, right? It's just I'm neutral on it. But if for some reason it's making you unhappy or uneasy, then we adjust.
Yeah.
I'm the king of adjusting.
I know, but that's frustrating because then it feels like I'm just have too much control and I'm just.
How's that control?
Like if I'm the one saying, well, Eli, I'm just going to make up a schedule, right? Like you have to take Eli to soccer on Saturdays and taekwondo on Sundays and we're going to do movie night on Fridays. Like it feels like it's I'm the orchestrator of our whole weekend all
you,
the time.
Are you saying that makes you unhappy?
Yes.
So then we adjust.
But
like I get that it's a thing. I understand this is an issue for you. I understand it's something you battle with on even bringing up as an issue. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, and how I view most things in life is, if it's an issue for you, let's look at it and adjust. Because
so long if it wasn't an issue for me, if I was just comfortable just planning everything as a man, as a father, in when our kids are grown adults, you'll feel like I was happy with that agreement that I just followed along with whatever mom wanted, but I didn't have any say in implementing what activities you did, what sports you did, or making things that were just for you and I, like a dad thing. You would be okay with that?
When you paint it all negative and in that tone, like
not obviously, negative, but I'm just thinking like.
I feel like you're saying things that happens in almost every household. And now, I don't know. I don't think children's memories of you are based on like what they think the dynamic between you and their mother was, or, you know, whatever the case is. Like I think I'm doing most than a lot of fathers by
one. But you see, that's the thing. I'm not comparing you to anybody. I'm not saying you're a bad dad. I'm just saying you, for you as a man and the type of relationship you want, and when you look back and reflect, what would you want to see? What would you want to feel you have accomplished? What impact do you want to have on your children?
I want them to say that my dad worked hard. He provided for us. He made my mom happy. I wanted a relationship like theirs growing up. That's the type of things I want my kids to say.
Okay. So make me happy by planning stuff with the kids. Listen, I get it. And we're also trying to have a lifestyle and family. And we're rewriting the script because you saw one thing, I saw another, and neither of us want to repeat exactly what we lived through, I feel like. And we don't have all the answers.
Yeah, we're figuring this out in real time.
I guess part of it for me, too, is like I don't want my kids to feel like mom was always planning this and telling dad to do that. Like, I feel like it's going to make me feel like I'm going to sound like the wicked witch that had, you know.
I just feel like even in your wording, it's just like, how's that make you feel as a man and mom telling dad? And it's like you're trying to like make it sound
like I'm biased in the way I'm saying it.
Yeah. How's that make you feel as a man? Like, it's just like
that's just
like
my
are
tone.
You okay being a bitch? Like, no. And I maybe if that's not your intent, but I'm saying that's how it's coming across.
That's not my intent at all. I think mine, when I said it that way, is that I'm not comparing you, you know, or I'm also not judging you and saying you're a bad father. I'm just saying compare you to you, like to yourself, like you as Travis O'Neill Whiteman. When you reflect, if you think about the future or like who you want to be remembered as by your children or your grandchildren, whatever, what does that look like? That's what I mean.
I want them. There's a lot of things I want them to think of me. I'm not concerned whether or not they thought dad just went along with what mom wanted to do. That's like on the bottom of my priorities. I want them to know 100 other things before that I could care less.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I say all that to say I am willing to adjust if it makes you unhappy to have all that on your plate.
Yeah. I don't know. Because it's not that it makes me unhappy. I guess my fear is maybe I'm just worried about the future and thinking of like, how are my kids going to view me? Are you really okay with me planning all these things? Like, maybe I'll feel better if I felt like you actually cared a little bit and you had some initiative and some say in like what activities we did do and planning out these child rearing experiences versus it was just me. Or what if it is just me and I'm all happy about it, but then like, our kids turned out fucked. It's going to be all on me because it was my sole responsibility. You just worked hard. And now it's all on me to make sure our kids aren't fucked up. Maybe that's what it is.
You're saying two different things because what you're saying, they're going to get fucked up from the activities that you planned?
Or lack of activities. And it was my fault because it was on me. I needed to plan. I needed to make sure they were busier and more well-rounded.
I think you're bugging.
Okay.
Let's put a pin in this one.
Yeah, we weren't even supposed to talk about this at all. This kind of just went left.
Yeah. And you're passionate about your family.
All right. So much for not sounding like we hate each other.
Listen, at the end of the day, I love you. I adore you. You're my best friend. And I think I stand on that I'm willing to almost do anything that's not illegal to make you happy. And that's just how it works for me. That's my personality.
And then sometimes I want to shake you because it's like, if right now I never pushed for one more marriage meeting, I never pushed for one more family activity, I never push for like anything communication wise, you know, family structure. Like, you are very content in just day to day. You go to work, you come home, I wash clothes, we eat dinner, and like life could go on forever and ever for you just like that.
And you're saying that like it's a bad thing. I get how, I get how there are things that you want us to do that help make our marriage and our life better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't in the same breath then say, because you are content and happy with the way your life is, it's like you want there to be some type of, I don't know, turmoil in our lives, and you want to see like how would Travis rise to the occasion or something. It's just, it's like,
no, but not even turmoil, because we don't have marriage meetings because things are bad. We have them just to like check in and make sure. And they're about like the kids, the podcast, finances. So it's not like maybe therapy because things are horrible. But you could take things very day by day without looking at all into the future. And I feel like you'd regret that in 20, 15, 20 years.
Without you, yes.
You would regret like not.
Without you.
So you're saying since it's on me.
I'm not saying it's on you. I'm saying because I am with you, because I married you.
Mm-hmm.
I used this example earlier, and it's a joke that I've said to my friends, but referring to, I'd be like, oh, I didn't get those sneakers, but I got them in Steph's size. And kind of like, since I'm walking next to her, it's kind of like we both have it. You have the ability to look in the future and see things from all these different angles. So it's by proxy, I feel
you're
like
benefiting from that.
I'm benefiting from that ability. So I don't know what it would look like if I wasn't with you. I don't want to imagine what it looks like without mm-hmm. you. I feel, knowing myself, knowing just being able to survive, I feel like I would adjust,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel like I have to because I do have you.
Yeah.
I don't. And like I said earlier, if it's a problem, we figure it out now, but it's not a problem for me. And nor should I feel like my view on life be viewed as this negative thing Because if I was just like hyperventilating over every little thing, every curveball that life has thrown at us, mm-hmm. I feel like it would be crippling. Because then it would be two people who are doing that.
Yeah, two people stressed out, two people worried about the future. Yeah. And I've spoken about how like we balance each other and like.
But it feels like now you're kind of, I don't know, maybe the scales are weighing more on your side now or something. I don't know. But
Not scales weighing more on my side, but like, I don't know, sometimes wanting you to like match my energy. Like sometimes, you know that saying, like match my energy? Like not make, I don't know, I feel like a nagger or like I'm pushing too much or I'm trying to plan too much for the future. And
you've been saying that you have fear of me leaving you since the first week we met because of like your personality, mm-hmm. and almost over seven years later, mm-hmm. over 8 years later, actually, I'm still here. I'm still madly in love. I still like you. And we open new chapters to our relationship, and I'm still locked in. I'm still very much here and present and wanting to do the work, however that looks. So I just feel like you have this irrational fear of becoming someone that is never going to bother me.
Or maybe it's not that fear anymore. Maybe it's like sometimes I'm tired and sometimes I want to sit back and like.
And that's different. And like, and I'm so open to that conversation more than anything. If you're saying it's a lot, then we adjust. Just like you brought up the whole, you don't always want to have to think about the things that need to get refilled in the house. I heard you and I adjusted.
Yeah.
So if we have to have a couple more conversations about things that you feel like you just want to take off your plate, then we do that.
And that's, I don't mean always and not forever, but I feel like it's still like you have the ability to pick up something sometimes just because.
Okay.
And I don't mean cooking and cleaning, but I mean just like family and lifestyle and like the kids sometimes. You know what I mean?
I do.
This conversation was so, I don't even know if we're going to do our whole episode. How many minutes we got in here?
50.
50 minutes? You're lying. All right. So I'm going to just jump into, I'm going to skip the first topic, save it for next week, and do an also y'all can relate. And it's kind of short.
Okay.
So I'm going to read it.
Wait, hold on. We've been going off. If you made it this far.
This should be like Stephanie and Travis have a discussion and they forget about the whole structure of the podcast.
I think that this is good. This is a good conversation to have. This is
totally unscripted.
But if you made it this far.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. I'm going to put the subscribe button back up on the screen. Like, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of this crazy conversation that spiraled. If you're listening on your podcast application, Spodcast, Apple, please leave us a 5-star review. Y'all have been killing the review, so we appreciate y'all. And Patreon.com/ we still like mm-hmm. each other. If you're wanting some more content, we may, I don't know, continue this conversation on Patreon. And while we're on Patreon, there are some patrons I wanted to shout out. Shout out to Shamari Linton. Shout out to the Lintons. He is celebrating officially becoming a financial advisor.
We need that.
Need that over here. So call us. And also shout out to Megan Merritt. She's starting her new job tomorrow as a project manager.
Let's get it. Congratulations on all the career moves, on the getting to the bag. Yeah. Love it. Respect it. Congratulations.
Moving on to the oh so y'all can relate.
Oh so y'all can relate. Let's get into other people's problems because we spoke way too much about our own. All right. So I'm in a relationship with an older man. I wish I knew the amount of age difference. I should have asked that.
I feel like it must be
like, when do you start saying it? Like, how many years, right?
Because technically, I'm an older man to you.
Yeah, by 2 years. So we never say that. We're, like, about the same age. So So what, maybe probably 10 years older at least is when you start seeing like an older man.
Something people would raise an eyebrow to.
But I feel like if it's a woman that's older, you need less. Maybe just 5 years older, you already start saying like, cougar. I'm dating an older woman, a right? So I'm in a relationship with an older man. We have been together for almost 2 years, so it's working out. When we met, he had a recent ex who was closer to his age, and she was in a car accident and had a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury, and relied on him for emotional support and venting.
Relied?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew this going into the relationship, but it started to bother me. How would you feel about that? Like if your ex had some medical reason to kind of reach out to you?
No.
I knew you were going to say that. Travis has no sympathy. He don't give a fuck. He'd be like, cut all ties.
You have family and friends for that. No.
Yeah. Cut it. Yes, it started to bother her. Eventually, he cut her off. And now recently, she will call him randomly. But here's the catch. In his phone, she's under a random name. And he claimed it was one of his male friends. Now I'm heated because he lied. If he would have been upfront about it, I wouldn't have been so upset. My instant thought is, like, this is the toxic me. If you change the name, you're hiding something.
No.
Why not?
He's hiding the fact that he's still communicating, but he's not hiding that there's... My gut tells me there's nothing deeper there.
Yeah. I like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But initially, it's like...
Yes, it's shady. But I just think he knows that for his current partner, or the person who wrote this, that... this is something that she's uncomfortable with, but it's something that's difficult for him to cut off. So he knows that, you know, random phone calls are going to come through, and it looks a lot better from Billy than it does from Rebecca or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So I think that's where it's coming from. I don't think it's like they're still fucking around or something. Does it make it right? No. But I don't think it's like...
So what would make it right? What should you do in that situation? What should he have done?
I personally think he needs to just cut off communication. Like,
but apparently he did.
Well, no, he didn't.
It says...
he probably said he did, but he was still communicating.
Eventually he cut her off, but now recently she'll call him randomly. So it's like, it seems like he attempted to cut her off.
Okay. He probably just changed her name from the jump and told her. That's my gut says.
Yeah, because I think if I really cut something off, you'll know about it. And if they happen to call back, I'll be like, yo, babe, they call me back. You know, at this point, I'm going to block the number. But, you know, there'd be some type of communication. It wouldn't just be like.
Yeah, there's obviously some type of there's definitely a connection between them. Mm-hmm. But I think that if he's going to take his new relationship serious, then he needs to. Put some separation between.
This is where like healthy conflict resolution comes in, because it's like in his mind, like, let me just change the number just so she doesn't get upset. Whereas I think the better things to do is just to be open about it. Like, she's still calling. Maybe I have to block her. Maybe I have to rehab this communication with her about the boundaries that I set versus like omitting it. I feel like you said that I omit shit. We were talking about lying, and I was like, I don't lie. You were like, you be omitting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I said it.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever... This is how it is with Stephanie. Oh. Like, I have to word the question a certain way, and then I'll always get the truth. She'll never lie to me. I'll put that on anything. Stephanie has never lied to me. But you have to ask the question.
Like what? I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know.
It's nothing crazy. It's never anything crazy, but it's just like, I don't know. Let's say when you were buying stuff, if I had to like ask you.
What, like shopping? Like
I'm using shopping as an example.
Okay.
I'd be like, did you order from so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And you would just be like, yeah, but let me tell you, I got a discount, and like you would never.
But I wouldn't have brought up that I bought something.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's a fair example.
You like that example?
That one's good. Yeah. So then my what I was thinking about here and something that could relate to many couples is like a change in what you were comfortable with maybe and now you're not, right? So it says here, in the beginning, the relationship was new. She understood that he felt like he had a little commitment to her. She had a traumatic brain injury. Okay, now 2 years in, I'm not cool with it no more. And sometimes we have that, I can't have an issue with it now because I knew what it was coming in. So you're kind of afraid to bring up that you have a problem. And your partner might feel like, well, you're not allowed to have a problem now because you knew what it was day one.
Yeah, like you're locked into the way you felt from day one.
The initial agreement or the initial agreement and understanding. We have to realize that our relationship is going to change. So that means the boundaries we initially set are going to change. And you might have felt a certain way about it. Her accident was fresh. It was a new relationship. Maybe you don't want to have him set hard boundaries and you don't even know where the relationship with between you and him are going to go. But now 2 years down the line, like, that's enough emotional support that she's getting from him. Like, cut it out.
Yeah. She's definitely codependent.
The ex
is codependent on him. And I just think, I don't know. I feel strongly about exes just kind of cutting ties.
Yeah.
I do think there's some, sometimes just depending like on how mature everyone can be, there are certain situations where I'm okay with it. Like even we always use the example about our friend. I know it wasn't like a real relationship, but like it was someone you were intimate with, and it's someone that is very important,
like family to us.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that happens if they don't have the type of mental maturity that they do, right?
Yeah, we're not changing each other's names in our phones and like being weird too.
Yeah. Well, you did change their name.
Oh. You're so annoying. But yeah, so what I wrote to her was like, you know, of course, we initially feel like that betrayal of changing the name is like they're hiding something else. But we have to put ourselves in their shoes. Like maybe they felt like that was just the most logical thing to do, like we talked about, right? The most important thing that she can do to take responsibility for her own feelings in the situation is be honest. Like, my feelings have changed. I was okay with it. I'm not now. What are we going to do, right? And then there, you lay it all out, and now it's on him to let you know what boundaries he's willing to place and what boundaries he's not, right? So if I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want no more communication and it's done, but my partner is like, I don't know if I could do that much setting boundaries. Now we're at a place where this could be a make or break situation.
What we just talked about, referring to T, kind of reminds me or kind of makes me think of something where it's like, all right, fine. Let's say they really do see a friendship here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the dynamic between all three of them?
Mm.
Or is it just like them two on the side and you're kind of just on the outskirts? Mm. Because if that is the case, then that's shady.
Yeah.
But if it's more so like everyone's mingling, maybe she checks up on her like after her accident or yeah. like how you doing, so forth. That's a lot different because referring to our situation, if that was separate from us.
Like I just had a friend on the side.
That you used to sleep with, then that would be a no.
Because at least in our marriage, like all of my friends are your friends. Like, it's not, I don't have any friend that, like, you don't know personally, right?
Pretty sure.
So it just would be weird, especially if now that friend is an ex.
Mm.
So I agree with you there. How would it be, like, if he said, okay, I still want to check up on her, what limits could be put in place?
I think how often the communication is happening and like the time of day.
Mm.
Like sun need to be up.
Yeah. Like when you had that friend that text you early in the morning, the night after Thanksgiving, many years ago.
So, Yeah.
Threw you off with that one, huh?
Yeah, you did. Communicating how often it's happening and the time of day, I think, is important. But I also think the goal, like if he is adamant about maintaining that friendship, mm-hmm. is to bring his current partner into the mix. I think that's the healthiest way to go about it.
Yeah. I say, like, it depends on the degree of this traumatic brain injury. Like, I don't even know what is happening. Mean? Like, you don't know if it's
How damaged is she?
Yeah, how damaged is she? Like, I don't know what her limitations are and stuff like that, but...
Wait, what?
What?
So, like, the more damaged she is, like, then you're okay with the relationship?
No. I meant in terms of types of boundaries that you plan to set. Or, like, everybody hanging out and going out for drinks. Maybe they can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
Like, you don't know what the situation is.
You know I have a twisted sense of humor.
Yeah, you do. Chill. No, but I meant, like, depending on her needs, is going to maybe impact the types of limits and boundaries that he's willing to set.
Okay, that makes sense.
With her.
Yeah, I don't think it's like relationship ending. I just think it's like some tough conversations that need to be had and some boundaries that need to be set.
And that whole being sneaky, I feel like once you feel like you're hiding stuff from your partner, it's going to fuck up the relationship. Like, not fuck it up like it's over, but it's going to mess with the trust. Like, that whole name change thing would have really bugged me. Like, if I ever noticed you change the contact in your phone, that would already...
It's going to spiral to,
it's
like...
It's going to spiral.
It's going to... Even if the truth isn't as bad, like, where your mind could take it is going to be a lot worse.
Yep. I'm going to think, are there any other numbers that you've been changed? Or how long has it been changed before I noticed? Just a whole bunch of things. Like, if you are doing that, like, to hide your tracks, it would make me just spiral. Mm. So I feel like that deceit in itself is very damaging. And we got to just be careful, like, make wiser choices when we're moving in our day to day.
But just for the record, my gut in this particular story tells me that he was just trying to avoid conflict, mm-hmm. and not because he was up to no good. And up to no good in the sense of, like, cheating. I know you can make the argument that he was doing some type of cheating, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Emotionally.
whatever. But, yeah, I think it's something that you two can work out and just...
Because, honestly, for me, I would just want you to be honest. Like, she's calling me again. And in this day and age, like, we block numbers. Like, hello. If that's really the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Just shit all over your outline for today.
Yeah, we just got into our own personal shit. I wonder if it's gonna... You think our listeners are gonna like that?
Yeah, I think y'all like the tea. Yeah, and it's real.
And I think that conversation about, like, roles and responsibilities and things that are, like, that's just the way they've always been, like, I don't know. It gave very 1960s, but... I don't know. You kind of shocked me with some of the things you were saying. Not going to lie.
That's my truth. But I'm open to adjusting.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of do want a more flexible parenting kind of lifestyle for our kids. Like, already, Eli is like, mom cooks, dad doesn't, and fine. But, like, in raising boys, raising men, like, I want to raise them feeling like when they have kids, it's an equal responsibility to mold them, like, what types of things they're into. And you're kind of the mindset of, like, it's always worked like this, where the women kind of plan everything and the men just go along. And I'm like, ew, I don't like the way that sounds coming out of your mouth, to be honest.
Even though it's our dynamic. It's not like I'm saying it. We're going to get back into this. It's not like I'm saying this is the way. Like the fucking Mandalorian. This is the way and there's no other way. I'm saying this has been our way. But if it's no longer serving you, let's adjust. I don't understand how saying one thing,
because that sounds like I'll change if you want, but not because I agree with the ideology. It's not that
I don't agree. There's no ideology. There's no
there is an ideology.
There's no man book. It's just what's been happening. We're just referring to how long we've been together. Mm-hmm. It's what's been happening for years.
And it's because of the way society has been. And that's what most households do. You say 8 out of 10 households. That's what everybody does.
I pulled that out my ass.
I know. Because it's true. Majority of households, that's how they're run.
Okay.
And you're just like, well, if it works, if that's, you know, that's the recipe. But we're forgetting that, like, so many marriages end in divorce.
No, you're hearing that first part, but you're not hearing the part where I'm saying, let's change it.
I hear that. But that's also like the, you know, fine. You tell me to do the dishes, I'll do the dishes. You're putting, tell me to take out the trash, I'll take out the trash.
You're putting extra sauce on it. It's, how many men do you know that's like, no, that's the way it is, and you, that's how it's going to be? Maybe not with you, because, you know, Stephanie is Stephanie. Take that, yeah. But I'm saying,
yeah.
And here I am saying, damn, that really troubles you. Let's adjust.
Yeah, but it's still, you're like, since you're so annoying and since you're never fucking satisfied, bitch, I'll change. To me, that's what I'm hearing. Like, you're like, if you insist, Stephanie, since you're never happy, I'll do it.
No,
but you're also like, but that's just the way it's always done. We've always done it that way. That's how households are.
Even after this
crazy ass bitch.
Even after this conversation's over, I am still madly in love with you.
Of course.
I still like the shit out of you. Yes. I still want to hug you, make out after this. I have no... the point in saying all that is that I have no ill feelings towards you. So I'm not... This isn't a front for the camera. That's how I feel. And my goal every day, most days, is to make you happy. Even today. Even today. Like, or in general, when I notice you're not yourself... Mm-hmm. Don't I always pick up on it, right?
Yeah.
And not only do I pick up on it, but I talk about it. I'm not the type of person that could like, oh, playing my video game and see that maybe your mood isn't right.
You love me. You take care of me. I agree. I'm not saying you don't.
But so stop adding the sauce on saying, well, you insatiable bitch. Like that's not me.
Because I don't want to hear, oh, I'll do it because it makes you happy. I want to hear... I think that's right. I want our boys to know that we both took part proudly in like molding their life. Not like your mom was unhappy doing it on her own, so that's why I stepped in. And I know that's not how you're saying it, but when you dissect it and like that's what you're saying without saying it.
Okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one because we're both like repeating the same points.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you.
I like you.
I like you more.
And I want to talk about this in depth more.
And I want to hear from more parents in our age groups. And like, I want to know what they're doing to do things differently. And like you said, I just started. We were her parents the whole beginning of our marriage. And it's just this past year and a half that I haven't worked. But yet I still was always the one doing it. So it's like, yeah, it's been done for years and years because for generations, women didn't work. But now we do. And yeah, it's just a lot.
Yep. I'm not saying another thing because...
Yeah, we're never going to end.
We're never going to end this. Yeah, that's all I got. Baby.
Daddy.
Do you still like me?
I still like you.
This is the King of Adjusting signing off.
See, I don't like that. King of Adjusting. Because then it's like me. It's me. It's Stephanie. She's just unhappy. She can't be content. She can't just live her life. Travis got to adjust to her crazy ass.
The Queen of Adding Sauce.
That's what you're saying. I don't want you to be the King of Adjusting to me. That sounds terrible.
That's the title of this episode. I'm going to put a crown on the cover, too.
Oh, my God. I hate this. Okay.
I love you. It's going to be all right. We're gonna have a more serious conversation. I mean, this was a serious conversation, but no cameras.
All right.
You good? You gonna be all right?
Yes.
All right. This was fun. This was fun. This was so fun.
All right.
You good?
I'm good. Peace, y'all.
Peace.